I am off center a little bit this morning. Just had quite a week this week, especially. There's a lot going on, but especially just dying with the suffering of our friends and family of Rick Owens. But we have a good reason to be gathered today. And we had a good reason Friday night. This place was packed with friends and family of his, and we had a good celebration of Christ's message there too, and we're going to continue that message today. Before we do that, I want to make sure we don't overlook that Craig and Cheryl Colson, are you guys here? Where's Craig and Cheryl Colson? Cheryl, could you stand up? Is Craig here today? Okay, sorry, we'll have to make you stand again, but they're placing membership with us today. So it's great to have you, Cheryl. We are eager to see how Christ is making us more complete by bringing you here. You know, we believe that God places people in His body right where He wants them, when He wants them, on purpose and for a purpose. So we're real excited that you're here, you and Craig both. Thanks for joining us. We're glad to have this Girl Scout troop number 5044 with us. So glad you guys are here. And like Joe said, they're here to help a couple of their scouts celebrate something that's really neat that I just think is worth pointing out now to you and honoring them with now. It's so in line. A couple of our students who are members of that troop have been working since last October, right? Very, very diligently on some very worthy things. The Scouts has a program called the Joyful Servant Program, and it prepares Girl Scouts to serve God in His world. And get this, I was reading the reason for this particular award, and this is why. It has three parts: serving God, serving others, and developing yourself. Does that sound familiar? Sounds like us. Sounds like what we're here to do. You know, we want to, the great commandment, love God, love others, become more like Christ. And so we're just so honored to get to honor. Now, they get to pick a mentor to kind of walk through this with them. And it shouldn't be a surprise to any of us that they picked Edie Hurley to do that. So Edie's here, and she has these awards. So let me go ahead and ask Hillary Womack and Megan McLaughlin to come up. Could y'all come on up? And Edie's going to receive the honor. Let's give them a big hand for this. Now, I got to, while they're getting the awards pinned on them, good job, you guys. I got to look at the workbook of requirements for this. And they've been studying the Bible since October, doing all kinds of service-oriented activities. And there is a huge list of things that they have to do to get this honor in Girl Scouts. And so we are very proud of you guys as you get that Joyful Servant pin. And grateful for what you've been investing in. So good job. Good job. All right. Now, oh, wait. Big honor picture. All right. One more big hand for these guys. Good job, you guys. We're really proud of you. Way to go. And thanks to all of you guys, girls, to be here and support your friends. And boy, I hope we all live lives worthy of that kind of honor. Worthy of getting the Joyful Servant pin. Let's pray, and then we'll begin. Father, thank you for Christ. And I ask God now that even as Hillary and Megan have reminded us that this is what we're supposed to be doing, we're supposed to find our place in this life as servants like Christ, developing ourselves into your image, into the image of your Son, and loving you and loving the world. So God, help us with that today. As we finish up this series on EPIC, looking at just a summary, an overview of the story in the Bible, your story, God, I pray that you would today speak specifically to us and speak to us about what our particular role is, God. Lord, you have given us the meta-narrative, the big picture, the cosmic story that we each find ourselves in. And now, God, we ask that you give us yourself in a way that speaks to each of us about our specific calling. We love you and we need you for that. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I got a call last night from a former student of mine. I met her when she was 14, I guess, down in Houston, Texas. And I got to meet her and introduce her to Christ and to His life and to the story that He came to expose to us. And boy, it was just so neat to see this student grab hold of that and find a brand new hope, a brand new life. Well, she called me. It's like 8 years later from that now, from that first time we met. And she called me late last night. She's been listening to this series on Epic, The Story of God. Lots happened to her in the last 8 years, and a lot of things that by her own hand has happened, her own decisions. She was listening to last week's sermon on heaven, and she said it triggered a memory of sitting in my office down in Houston, maybe her junior year. She said she remembered sitting there saying this thing. I remember her doing it multiple times, where she was being confronted by the inconvenience of this life that was calling her out of her normal life. You know, there's times when it seems really exciting and like it flares up hope. Then there's other times where it seems really imposing, really inconvenient, really, really costly. And she was in one of those times. And boy, she was way down deep, kind of almost in depression, sitting in my office talking about the difficulty of having this hope but not knowing how to grab hold of it. And I remember her just saying, I just wish I could be normal. She remembered that last night. She remembers using those words, just wish I could be normal. And she was explaining to me last night what she meant by normal then. Back then, she meant by normal, she meant just oblivious to all this. Just back to pre-14 years old for her, where she's just kind of going with the flow. She's just kind of going with the crowd, not thinking of deeper things. Not having to believe that there's more for her heart. You know, there's a certain advantage, there's perks to believing that this is all there is. I'm just going with it. But it's like, it's a horrible image. It's the only image I can think of. If you had a big old barrel like this that had a little liner in it like that, and you fill it up with water, it wouldn't take much water to fill it up to look like it's full, okay? Because there's a liner there that's just, it's shallow. But if you pulled that liner out, it would take a whole bunch more water to fill up the depths of that barrel. And it was feeling like, for her, she wished she just never knew that there was a liner. You know, she could have walked around pretending that shallow was full. But there's so much more. And she was remembering that. She's 24 now, 25, and she was remembering feeling that way, feeling the inconvenience of the call of Christ, wishing she was just normal. And now, after about the last 3 or 4 years, she has that life. She pretty much has forgotten that there's more and has just pushed it out of her life and is living back in that shallow end of the pool. And pretty much just goes with the flow. And she had to stop and realize, as she's been listening to this series on the story of God, she goes, it's horrible. I hate my life, she said. Like, I hate it. And so now, you know what she's doing? She's considering being inconvenienced again. She's considering going back because she's thinking back to that time where she knew there was more. She didn't know how to get to it. But that was better. Even the pain of knowing there's more, of having hope that there is satisfaction for the depths of my heart, is better than the life she's in now, of just going with the flow and disregarding that it's not enough. It really reminded me of the scene in John 6 when Jesus has crowds of disciples following Him around. And He finally turns and He realizes that it's kind of a shallow following that He has. They're following Him. The Scripture even says they're following Him around kind of for the food that He miraculously produces. You know, they're kind of taken in by this latest teacher, and it's all exciting and it's creating a stir. Maybe some are following because they just kind of want to rebel against the old religious establishment, and just being a part of the rebellion maybe flared them up. He turned around. He started calling them out, talking about the cost of following Him. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? And He just laid it on them. He laid it on them. They even kind of taunted Him a little, saying, when are you going to give us some more food? He goes, I've got food. I am the food. I'm the bread of heaven. You must partake of Me if you want to follow Me. And it will cost you your life. And those crowds of disciples left. Turn and left. And then he turned to 12 special disciples, 12 that he had called early on to give up their lives and follow him. And he asked them, hey, you guys want to leave too? You want to leave too? This call isn't any less inconvenient for you than it is for them. This life, if you want to keep following me, it's not going to be less costly. And they said these famous words that I love in John 6:68. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. See, they were already stuck. Kind of like my friend that called last night. She was already stuck. She knows of the depths of her heart. She knows that there's more to life than the shallow, mediocre life that this world is selling. She knows and she wants to believe. And these guys looked at Jesus, said, where are we going to go? As costly as it feels sometimes. As inconvenient as it is, as much as you make me walk through that sometimes I'm resistant to, where are we going to go? You are the only one that has what my heart's longing for. You have the words of eternal life. We can't have less now. We need you. You have completely oriented us to life. I hope that that's what this series has done, epic, as we've looked through the pages in broad strokes of the Bible from beginning to Act 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, and we find ourselves towards the end of Act 3 right here. I hope that's what's happened. I hope you've been oriented some, and I hope that you've come to grips with at least these three things, that little book, Epic, that we read points out. One, that there is more going on here than meets the eye. You know, you go to a funeral like I got to go to this last Friday night. You can't help but just hope it's true. You know, forget whether it's objectively true or not. Your heart starts just wanting it to be true. It just comes straight out of your heart. You, when death hits, you just want there to be a larger story. Praise God, there is one. There is one. There is more going on. The snake in that garden was more than a snake. The carpenter from Nazareth was more than a carpenter. There's always more going on. Do you have eyes to see that? Second, that we're in the middle of a great battle. John 10:10 sums it up. That snake came to the garden, and he comes into your life to steal, kill, and destroy. That carpenter from Nazareth, it says in John 10:10, came to give you life to the full. But if you want it, you have to fight for it. You have to battle. You will be equipped. You'll win. So much has already been won. And so you'll win, but you're going to have to fight. And then finally, this is what I want to end this series on, is the last one, that you have a crucial role to play. But that leads us to the very individual question now. What is my crucial role to play? What do I get to do in the story? I know there's this cosmic, huge story going on. What's my verse? What's my chapter? How do I discover my role in the story? My kids and I think I mentioned this to you before. We do this little sport when we're going hiking or traveling called geocaching. You can go to geocaching.com, a little free advertisement for them. And there are treasures hidden all over the planet. Like, there's treasures. If I turn this on and looked in on my computer and put in our, you know, our little waypoint here, we would have treasures within a half mile of here. There are treasures hidden all over the world, okay? And people record them and hide them, and there's boxes with actual treasures in them that you can go and find. And geocaching is the sport of putting those into a unit like this, a GPS unit, and then orienting yourselves to where you are, to where the treasure is, and then you navigate your way to that treasure. Now, the thing about this is, this is useless if there aren't satellites available to you up in outer space. Okay, so on here, there's a little grid that talks about the satellites that are available, which ones that you can grab, and the more satellites that you have, it gives you more points of reference for where you are. The more accurate this device is. Okay, like if I turn it on in here, this roof would make it probably to where I couldn't get any satellites. So you would get the dreaded cannot function message. You know, no satellite, no points of reference are available to you. But if you go outside and it's a clear day and you're at the right time, you turn it on, and you can get, you know, 3 or 4 or 5, sometimes 7 points of reference. And then it has a little margin of error screen on here. You can see the margin of error. If you don't have enough satellites, then it, you know, you have like 500 feet margin of error. It makes it pretty useless for finding the treasure in the sport we play. But if you have enough points of reference, then it'll say margin of error is like, it can get as low as 7 feet where you're standing. It's just right here somewhere. That's what we need, isn't it? We need points of reference. Now, if you don't have enough, so many people try to figure out what their specific calling is with no points of reference. They're just got guessing, you know? Or they're grabbing false points of reference in order to make this decision. It doesn't satisfy their heart. But what else do they have? So that's what I want to do today, is just point out a few possible points of reference. Things I've learned on the way, that I've heard talked about by people who've gone before me, and that you can find in the Bible. As you are looking for, what is your specific calling? Don't you want that? Wouldn't you love to know what it is you're supposed to be doing to have that treasure? To find it, we need some points of reference. Psalm 25:12 says a pretty cool statement. It says, "Who then is the man that fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him." Part one here is there's a presumption, okay? Who then is the man that fears the Lord? If you want to know what you're supposed to be doing, here's the presumption, all right? God will help you figure that out, but only if you fear the Lord. There's a presumption here. You need to have already decided to take a knee to Christ. You need to belong to Him. It is for those that are sons and daughters of God that get to find out their role in the world. They're the ones that... It's a journey, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but you're the ones that get that. So you want to be sure. You got to ask that question first, I guess. Am I one that fears the Lord? Is that define my life? Do I take a knee to Him? Is He my Father? Is Jesus my brother? Am I a son or a daughter of God? If not, then you just need to end right here. Just end right here. You can listen to what the rest of me is going to say, but you need to jump to the end. When I invite you to decide to follow this Jesus. Because it's going to be real hard to fill your heart with what it was designed for if you're not in relationship with the author of your heart and the author of the story that we're in. But for those of you who do fear the Lord, look at what He says. He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. So I just want to give you some points of reference that I've learned or help instruct us in the way that's chosen for you. How can we discern what's chosen for us? All right. I owe these first three, not the specific words, but a lot of this to a guy named Gary Barkalow, who's done a lot of investing in his own calling, risking and following his calling. And I've got 4 points of reference for you. These first three Gary helped me out with. The first one is your history. That's your first one. We got to look back. Remember the verse I talked about last week where Jesus, right before He washed the disciples' feet, it says in John that He knew where He'd come from. He knew where He was going. So He knew what He needed to do right now. He took up His towel and He went and He did what you girls got pinned for today. Became a joyful servant in the present. So the first one is we need to look at our history. I've talked a lot about the value of telling your story, you know. Part of it is for the healing of your heart. Part of it is to be known by a community. But there's another really important part to telling your story, knowing your story, investing in your history, because it can give you some guidance towards what your crucial role is. Now keep in mind, your history doesn't give you your direction. It gives you, like the satellites, it just gives you perspective. Okay? It gives you perspective that can help in your direction. Y'all know Donna Hogue. She's in CCU, I think, still today. We need to be praying for her. But y'all know if you know Donna Hogue at all, you know part of her calling. It's clear. She makes blankets for vets, and she cares for those in the military. And I mean, she is just, if you're around, you don't have to be around her long before you know. She got invited. She met the President of the United States because of her calling and her just being faithful to it and doing it. Do you know where some of that came from? If you know Donna Hogue, you know Donna lost her husband in the Vietnam War. See, it's connected deeply in her history is her calling and her present. I wonder what your history would reveal about you to get another biblical idea. Remember when David went to the Israelite army and Goliath is taunting the Israelite army and none of the officials or none of the army wanted to go and take on Goliath, and David goes out in confidence and says, "Who is this that defies the armies of God? I'll go out and kill him." The king asked, "What? You're just a little young man. You know, you're a shepherd boy. Why would I send you?" And he explains why. He goes back to his history. "Look, I am a shepherd. I took care of my dad's sheep. And a couple of times, one of my sheep got dragged off, once by a lion, once by a bear. I pursued that bear and that lion. I delivered those sheep from their mouths. And I took the lion and the bear down. I'm prepared for this. I'm prepared." He found something in his story to explain his present. And it was enough for the king. He let him go. I really think that exploring and sharing our own stories helps us have a reference point. It's worthy. You know, in Luke 12, Jesus is teaching a crowd and his disciples, and he's talking to them about parable he had said that's giving them direction, and in the middle he just pauses and he looks at the crowd and he kind of almost like he's, as he's explaining, he stops and goes, "Why aren't these guys getting this?" He says in Luke chapter 12, he said to the crowd, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain, and then it does. And when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time?" Boy, I bet you he'd come down here now and go, "You've got GPS units and you've got the weather channel. You know, you guys spend a lot of time paying close attention to the story that the earth tells you just to know the weather today. Why not spend a little bit of time paying attention to the story that your own past might tell you so that you can know the much more important information of the crucial role you need to be playing today?" Our history is one. Another one that we talked about a little bit in this series is your desire. Just ask you this question. I know the desire of our heart fears a lot of us. It makes us scared. Because if we follow our desires, I mean, I'm evil. I'm bad. My desires are going to lead me astray. And that can be true. I like the Bible's word for those desires. Rather than say heart, say flesh. Fleshly desires. I want you to know, and I know this crowd does know, you go deeper into your heart where the image of God was created in you. Get through all the distractions and the delusions of this world and your flesh and get down to the core, what God made you to be. There's an echo of Adam and Eve there. There's an echo of God's image there that's waiting to be plumbed and discovered and brought roaring to the surface through all the other sin and habits that aren't like Christ. We're looking to be set free. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about your desire. Think about this for a minute. What if this, just answer this question. What if you are the way you are because of the why you are? What are some of the unique things about you that you just cannot escape? That those are there for a divine purpose. What if that was true? In Philippians 2:13 it says, "It is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose." Where? Where does He work it? In you. If He works in you, then you must pay attention to what's going on in you to understand that He's at work in there to act according to His purpose, which is where? In you. And nothing gets to your heart like the question, what do you want? Nothing does. What is it you want? What if what you desire to do is what you were supposed to do? Wouldn't that qualify as like good news? What if what you really, really want to do is what you were designed to do? Now, a lot of you I know, I've gotten to talk to a bunch of you. You've been trying to live out of your education. It's reasonable. Some of you have been trying to live strictly out of your skills or your gift set. Some of you are living just out of, well, this is what I know. How's that working for you? For some of you, I know you're in the fold of your will, of God's will. You're right where you need to be. But for some of you, you cannot wait till retirement. You cannot wait until, I mean, that should be our sign that maybe we're off center a little. Just worth considering. Philippians 3:12 says, not that I have already obtained all this, this is Paul, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. You hear him? Paul says, I am pressing, I am working hard to grab hold of that thing for which Jesus grabbed hold of me. Are you doing that? Are you done with that? Have you done it? Have you already attained to that? Or Paul hadn't. And he's way more spiritually mature than most of us at this point. And I think that's just still part of our call, is to look at the desire of our heart. I'm working hard to take what Christ came to give me. Now, speaking of depth, you know, there's an assumption of maturity in this, right? I mean, if I ask my little 5-year-old son, Jakin, hey, what do you want to do? And that's your calling. Well, everything be set on fire, right? Okay, we're talking about that deep place in your heart, all right, when we talk about the desire. Another reference point is your journey. The Israelites were going to be given the promised land. Their treasure, it was coming, it was on its way. But then he says something. God plans on giving them the land. They want the land most of the time until it's hard or inconvenient to get there. But he says this in Exodus 23. He says, but I will not drive them out. This is the other occupants of the land that he's going to bring the Israelites to. He says, I will not drive them out in a single year because the land would become desolate and the wild animals too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out before you, until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. See, that is a good kind of model of what he's doing for each of us. He can't give you this position that you're ultimately built for all at once. You just can't handle it. He's going to train you. It's a journey. There's points in the story. There's points in our past and there's points in our future, right? That we need to hit. And he's going to keep giving it little by little. I think that's why Paul said, I work hard to press on. It's not that I've already attained it yet, but I'm right where I'm supposed to be right now, this current place in my journey. This is another reference point for you to get perspective. Once you get that desire, once you realize maybe a little bit of your calling, where am I in this journey? A young man came to me not too long ago, a couple of months. He really, really, really wants to be a youth minister. I think he has seen other great youth ministers, including our two, and he's seen them making a difference in kids' lives. This is a young man. He also has a little ache in his heart because he didn't have it in his life growing up, where it was available to him. He didn't take advantage of it. Okay? So he missed out on that. That kind of, his history's telling him, I'd kind of like to be that for somebody else. He sees the impact it's having. He'd long to do that. And I said, okay, but think about it for a minute, because this young man's just not ready to be a steward of other people's souls and hearts. That doesn't mean he won't be, and that doesn't mean his desire's wrong, right? He's on a journey. I put on the whiteboard, here's you now. Here's you being hired by a group of parents to help them in making disciples of their kids. That's what you want, right? Yes, that's what I want. What points do you think need to be attained first for you to get there, right? Integrity, absolute integrity, healing of wounds from your childhood, from where you are now. There's lots. You need to be educated, trained up in the message of the Bible. It would be wise to know the adolescent heart very intimately and what happens in those years, right? There's a lot of things to to go through. So it doesn't mean this is wrong, right? But so often we see someone doing what flares something up in our heart, right? And we're like, we want that now, like tomorrow. I'm quitting my job and I'm doing it now. When really it might be God calling us on a journey. So the question would be, what do I need now? In Braveheart, you know, William Wallace, if you remember that, it's my favorite movie of all time. William Wallace, little kid, his family was killed and he's all alone. His uncle comes and he's got this huge mega sword on his waist. And little William Wallace is looking at it. He's eyeballing it. The uncle notices and he pulls out this massive sword. I don't know if you've ever held one of these. Even the imitation ones are very bulky, very heavy. He gives it to the boy and he's looking at it. Boy, he wants to use it. But you know how dangerous it would be for him to wield that sword? Like to send him out into battle as a young boy? He'd just get up there. Even you and me, I mean, we got to be careful just holding them. Because you just sling it, you could hurt your allies. You know what I mean? It's hard to, you got to learn how to wield that thing. And that's what I think God does with us. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." This glory, this role, this crucial role that you were built to play right now in your present is something that is also a journey. And He will keep giving you in ever-increasing levels your glory. You growing up into the image of Christ. So there's a lot of relief in that too. You can dream. This young man can dream of being that youth minister. Even though he looks at himself today and has to admit, I'm not there yet for the full glory. Right? Okay, and then finally, one more reference point I wanted to mention is your angst. It's the best. I sat down with Doyle, I'm trying to talk about this thing, or you can't let something go. And he said, your angst. I go, yeah, that's it. Your angst. What injustice do you see in the world that you just can't let go of? What is it? I think there's a clue for you in the answer to that question. Clue for you in your role. You know, Moses was destined. I believe God put it in his heart from the very beginning to take care of the Hebrew slaves in Egypt. I think that was put in his heart. And when he got old enough and he saw the injustice and the Egyptian was treating the Hebrew slave badly, he didn't react maturely, right? He went right over and killed that Egyptian. And then he ended up having to flee Egypt, running from the very people he had in his heart to save. So much so that he thought, he was completely diminished and didn't think he would ever supposed to do that. So he went out and he was a shepherd out in the wilderness for years. But God showed up when it was time. Said, hey, I'm ready. I'm ready to call you to go and deliver the Hebrews. Maybe that was in his heart from the beginning. Maybe that angst. Maybe it was always there. What's in yours? Now, warning here. Sometimes our angst is a point of reference for just what we need to heal from. Doyle had a funny story that he heard from Mike Cope one time, preacher down in Abilene, said that he and his wife were in their bedroom and they were making their son do his piano lessons. And so he's in there in the piano and he's finally finishing up and they make him finish up and he does the little, what was the song? Da, na, 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 na. And then he closes the piano and goes to bed. Okay, he just did that. Da, na, 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 na. And he stopped. And he shut the piano and goes to bed. Finally, Mike and his wife are in the bed and the wife goes, oh, I can't stand it. And he goes, she opens the piano and goes, nah, and shuts it and goes back. I can sleep now. Yeah, that's not probably much guidance for your calling. That's something you need to heal from, right? And we all have those, don't we? We all have those. I'm talking about true injustices in the world, sufferings that you see. My favorite example, I can't help but think about it, is if you talk to Paula Leverett, she has in her heart, she has an angst for the hungry in Zimbabwe, both physically and spiritually. It will not let her go. Eastern Europe, for you guys, for the camps, it just doesn't seem to let them go. Those angsts, that can be perspective. So, your story, your desire, your journey, your angst. Satellites up there to give you maybe perspective. And you're not going to be able to do this in one sermon. Okay, here's my gift. You know, here's what I'm supposed to do. This takes an investment of time. We're in a great story, but to get your crucial role in it, you can just read about the story, but to find your crucial role in it, you have to get to know the author of that story intimately, personally. Good news. He wants to do that with you. You know, we have some questions. I got some questions that I just want to list for God, that questions for you to ask God in that time as you learn to get to know Him. What has God been doing that I've not seen or been aware of or maybe have misinterpreted in my history? Spend some time on that. And how about this one? What are the truest, deepest desires of my heart? And this one, what is to be the focus of my life for this part of my journey? What are you up to, God, right now in my life? Even if He gives you some vision of the future, of what you really long to be, what about right now? What are you up to in this journey? What is it I need to be about now? And then this last one, what injustice or unfairness or suffering can you just cannot let go of it? I think God gives us those. Now remember, it's for those who have Christ. These are useless without Christ. If you don't have Christ, then your story, you just ask someone without Christ. Their history, it's just confusing. It's like hard to interpret. It seems baseless and futile and even cruel. You know, our desires, if you don't have Christ, our desires will always lead us astray. We won't know anything more than that surface thing. We'll feel this hunger, but we'll just be in the surface trying to satisfy the deep. It leads us into all kinds of mistakes and sinful behaviors and actions and decisions and pursuits. Our journey, it's only focused on this world if you don't have Jesus. You just won't think big enough. You will work for something that achieves something here only, instead of something that will last on into eternity. And that is not enough for your heart, in case you haven't learned that yet. Try. And your angst will just be irritating. You'll just get angry. That's all you'll do. You won't be a solution. You'll just get angry that it's that way. These things are curses. These satellites are curses if you don't have Christ, if you haven't taken a knee to Him. Christ is like the GPS unit in your hand. The satellites are useless up there if you don't have something with which to bring them into your life. That's what Christ does. It's a perfect place for maybe the most famous scripture of all time, John 3:16. The good news is God so loved this world He created that He did give His Son. He put it down in here for us to grab hold to have. And if we'll believe in Him, we won't perish and we will have eternal life. That can be your experience. I want to ask our elders and our ministers and their wives, if you guys don't mind, just get up and go spread around this room. I hope that this series has flared something up in you like it did this student that called me last night. I hope it makes you long for more. I hope it's waking you up to wanting more life, to wanting your heart to be filled. And if it is, listen to me close, church, if it is, you are not meant, and there is no need for you to wake that up alone. There's no need for you not to connect with a fellow human being who understands that special excitement and that special calling. And these are some of the people that have volunteered, said, I want to connect with you on that. I'm on that journey, and we want you on that journey. So if you need to take a knee to Christ for your first time, maybe for your first time, and be baptized into this story, then we want you to do that now. If there's any other need that you have, please come as we stand and sing.